Previously on I've Gotta Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Previous returning champion guest on the show, Randall Trang.
To me, the director is supposed to be the one that knows what's going on set at all times, you know?
Why isn't the rest of the movie like this?
Yeah, there's a certain rhythm to a fight scene, and these guys clearly get it.
We must have rented that movie, like, so... I don't even know how many times. Ooh.
I don't want to insult Eric Roberts.
And now, the shocking conclusion.
Olé!
Did I tell you about how I've started trying to rewrite the movie?
No.
Okay, so...
You could make such a better movie.
So, what I'm trying to do is... And maybe I shouldn't talk about this. Maybe I should just drop it as a surprise. But if I don't talk about it, I probably won't then. As you have pointed out with other things, where it's like, just do the thing. You'll find other stuff to do.
Yeah.
So I've started trying to just like, and not like I can't approach it as like a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just take individual scenes while I'm watching it sometimes, and I turn the sound down and try to watch what's happening. And of course, by this point, I basically know what's going to happen anyway. But it's like, what I want to do is try to rewrite it in a way where I could put different subtitles on the bottom. I'm sorry, I've got a hair. I've been trying to like get this hair off my face for the last minute, and Randy's just having to sit here and watch me try to talk, but just not
pawing at his mouth.
So I've started trying to just take the scenes and where, because obviously I can't fix any of the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
I could trim stuff out, and there's places where I go like,
just still picking at his mouth.
It won't. Maybe this is just what my face feels like from now on. It just feels like there's a hair like right on my mouth. Anyway. So I've started going like, you know, like maybe I could trim something down. You know, there's parts where I go, if you just cut right here to the next thing, instead of letting that play for an extra 2 seconds or 3 seconds where someone does something dumb, you go like, oh, okay, that takes something stupid out of the movie.
Yeah. Well, I said in the middle of the movie, it's like, this is like a Zack Snyder movie. If you played everything in regular speed instead of slow-moing every other shot, this movie would be like a half hour long.
Yeah. So there's places where I go, okay, let me take this scene and what's supposed to happen. And I feel like this is kind of a like, all right, put your money where your mouth is. Like, if you want to complain so much about how bad this movie is or about like what a mess it is, like, okay, try to fix it. And I go like, and so one of the other ideas I had was like, maybe I could try to like redo it as like a silent movie where just instead of having to worry about like what they're actually saying, I just cut to like, you know, a text card for certain parts. And that would certainly require a lot less writing.
Just do what Brad Neely does and just
do wizard people, dear readers. Yeah,
wizard people and just speak over the
fighting whole people, dear readers. Mortal Kombat Annihilation, a book on tape, chapter one. That's the problem with the movie. The first thing out of the movie's mouth is Mortal Kombat is not about death. Wrong. It's absolutely what it's about. It's a murder tournament.
That's why you buy the video games too. You want to see people die.
I'm sure there were kids who just like got up and left the theater at that point. It's like Mortal Kombat is not about death, but rather the preservation of life. And you just hear the sound of the audience getting up to leave.
The chair swinging back up.
Yeah. So I've started going through and just, I'll take like one little scene and go like, okay, let's pretend I have no idea what they're saying other than I know sort of what's happening in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And try to just fix what's being said to make it not, basically this is doing like punch up on the dialogue, not even trying to like fix the overall movie.
Mm-hmm.
But there's places in this movie where you go like, man, if you just had someone explain this a little better, or if you just had someone not say this incredibly stupid thing.
This needs to be the end game of like what you do with this. This is how you beat Mortal Kombat.
If I release a version of this movie that makes more sense.
This like is how you beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
We've got 163 nights to try to... Okay, maybe that's what the end game should be. Yeah. Because I've just started doing that anyway. Like, I'll take like a little scene. Cause like I said, if I try to do it all, look at it as one big thing, it's too much. It's like, oh, this is too much of a mess. But if I just take one scene and go, what, like, as it's kind of going on, and then like go, all right, if I have him not say this and just say something that sounds like something not stupid,
it would give you, like, you would be able to watch this movie and also do something very productive while watching it.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, maybe that's what's going to happen now. Maybe this is like really going to set me on that path. Because I haven't been, I mean, because obviously I've been, well, the big thing is going to have to be like, I'm going to have to work with someone else to get this into a format people could watch or listen to or whatever. Because I don't know anything about
it's easy enough.
Video editing and, you know, stuff like that.
That's not hard.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first. Randy says video editing is not that hard.
Not doing that. What you're explaining is not going
to
be that
hard. Okay. Well, maybe we'll have some more. We'll have to do some more talking about this off the air, maybe. Anyway, I feel like we have had a lot of fun conversation. This is already like so much longer than most of the episodes are, and we have not even gotten to the questions. Oh, so, man. Even though we did not play the Mortal Kombat drinking game, I think these questions should still be fun. And like, I think you're probably going to be the most successful at the questions so far.
Sure.
So, Randy,
question
number one. As best as you can, explain the plot of Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Shao Kahn's got daddy issues.
Right?
That's it.
Now, what you don't know is I started to say right before you were going to answer, I was going to say, I don't think you can beat Peggy's explanation because you haven't heard it yet.
Yeah.
Peggy's explanation of the plot, which people will hear before they hear is fantastic. And I expected hers to be the one that would, like, I expected her to possibly have the worst trouble with it.
Mm-hmm.
And she summarized, like, she gets to the heart of what the plot of this movie really is. So well, I was just like in awe. Yeah. I was like, I expected that to take a very long time, and you just nailed it in like one sentence. And I was like, there's no way you can sum it up better. I started to say, there's no way you can sum it up better than Peggy did. But I think you did, because you certainly did it in less words. Hers was like one sentence, and yours was like, Shao Kahn has daddy issue, like five words. So yeah, can't argue with it. All right, question number two. How many characters can you name?
Oh, I can name basically all of them. I play the video game, so
yeah.
I know when they pop up, other than like the non-named character.
You even knew Shao Kahn and Raiden's dad's name before they said it in the movie, which most people who watch the movie don't know his name.
Yeah, Shinnok is he's a completely different character, not related to Raiden.
Yeah, what's his deal in the games?
I think he's just a really powerful sorcerer.
Okay, and no connection to...
Yeah, he appears, I believe, in the same... I think he appears in Mortal Kombat 4 with Quan Chi. I think they're both introduced at the same time, and they're just really powerful sorcerers.
Is he playable, or is he just like a...
He is playable.
Okay.
He might even be the boss character before you're able to play him. I'm not sure about that. No, okay. The boss character is, I think, Goro.
In 4?
4 is the one that no one played. It's really bad.
What did 4 look like?
It's the first one that's 3D.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah. It's really... It has like all the unplayability of the ones before it. You know? Like the first really good Mortal Kombat game that I like remember like having a really good time with was Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance.
Which one is that?
It came out after 4. It was on the PS2.
Was 4 where they stopped numbering them? Until 10?
Yeah. And then they went to like subtitles.
Okay.
So Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance was the storyline was Shang Tsung and Quan Chi, like they band together and they kill Shao Kahn, and then they become like the most powerful people in the whatever world.
Outworld.
Yeah. And then they're the ones that are like the boss characters.
Right.
Yeah, that one was really fun because they actually did research into different martial arts, and like everybody had two styles of martial arts that they knew, and then they also had a weapon they could switch to. So they had a different moveset for every martial art, and like there's like, you know, like Sonya was cool because she knew Taekwondo and I think like some other martial art, and then like she could like take out her weapon, and so like you can switch between three different styles of fighting.
Oh, okay.
And you have three different movesets.
That's trying something new, at least. I mean, I get the appeal of why they would try to go to something like, oh, let's up it.
Right.
You know, kind of give.
Yeah. And they did stuff that made sense for each character. They clearly did like research, like Sub-Zero was really cool. Like he did like, you know, he had karate and then he had another style and then he could like make a sword out of ice and that was his weapon. And like, it was just really cool.
Smart.
Like yeah. And like, you know, Scorpion had ninjutsu and, you know, but yeah, that game was really fun. And like that, like fleshed out a lot of characters and things like that. So like this movie uses a lot of characters, from one, two, and then randomly Shinnok, but I think it's just 1, 2, and 3.
No, I think, because I think the 1, 2,
and 3
cyborgs are in 3.
Yep, they use 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Because they use Smoke, they use Cyrax, they don't use Sektor, who's the red one. They use Shiva, who's from the third one. The generals are all from the third one, too. I think Ermac, Rain, there's
Mataro.
Shao Kahn. Mataro is the penultimate boss in the third one. Yeah, this one clearly borrows more from 3, but they randomly use Shinnok from the fourth one. then you got Liu Kang, you got...
Or do you think that... Wait, was 4 out then? Do you think that maybe they introduced Shinnok in this one?
I think 4 was already out.
Okay.
Yeah, but no one cared about 4. So, like...
It's just like, what if that was, like, John Tobias's big thing? Was he...
He incorporated characters
from the movie. They were like, we're going to use this guy in the future. Put him in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, and then it'll be like, oh, you get your first look at a character from
do research on that one. I'm pretty sure 4 came out already.
I'm gonna look into this.
But
it's like I'm gonna look into this. Edit. I didn't look into it.
Or maybe they mentioned Shinnok in like the text of the third game.
Okay.
As like one of the elder.
I'll
gods
look into it
or something.
I'll look into it.
But of course you got Raiden, you got Sonya, you got Jax, you got Liu Kang. Johnny dies in the first scene. You got Sindel, who's in the third one. I can't even tell you which games they come from. who else is in this movie? Baraka. There's a Baraka.
Multiple Barakas.
Yeah, they're supposed to be like the kind of like the foot soldiers. There's Noob Saibot, who's not technically in the movie, but he comes out as a shadow of Ermac.
From Ermac, yeah.
So he counts. Let's see. Who else is in this movie? This god-awful movie. Who else did they ruin?
I can think of a real specific one you're forgetting.
Specific one?
Well, just in that, like, oh, she's definitely, this was like, not someone who really had a scene, and...
Katana, Jade, Nightwolf. It's another one?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't mentioned?
Yep.
It's a she? Who am I forgetting?
I don't know. Who are you forgetting?
This is just a memory game now. This isn't like a do you remember? Do you recognize these people? I recognize all of them.
It's from a you know, pretty memorable scene in the movie.
There are memorable scenes in this movie.
I think there's lots of memorable scenes in this movie. I mean, just maybe not for the reasons they would have hoped.
I mentioned Sindel
and
her getting her tooth.
Oh, you're getting warmer now.
Green screened out of there. Wait, did someone else get green screened out of there?
No.
Is it that part of the movie?
No.
The middle of the movie?
About the middle of the movie. But when you mention teeth. I wish y'all could see his face. He's like,
who you just forgetting?
Do you just want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Okay, Melina.
Oh, I completely forgot she was in this movie.
She's in that whole
in
Sonya's second fight, and we had that whole conversation about that fight scene.
Yeah, that fight scene the fight scene's not bad either.
Yeah,
that's a really good fight scene.
That fight scene also, it's the one that proves that Sonya is the most competent character in the movie. But,
oh man, that scene pisses me off. That scene makes me so angry because there's clearly like an aspect to it. It's like, oh, look at these women fighting in mud.
Yeah.
And it's like that whole thing. And it's like, these are really talented stunt people.
Like we were talking about when we were watching
it. You don't need that.
It's like, it bothered me so much because it's like, it'd be one thing if they were fighting in a way where it was like trying to be titillating.
Yeah.
Because you'd go like, all right, that's why this is in here in 1997. You go, okay. But it's like, they're not trying to fight in that kind of way. They're trying to still just have like a normal martial arts fight in a really dangerous for the actors and the stunt people environment that serves no purpose. You know, it's like, if you want to put it in like for that kind of reason, okay, that's your call. You know, if you want to do that for
a, if you want to be gross,
You know, if you want to do that for a movie for teenage boys in 1997 to be like, oh boy, but it doesn't serve that purpose at all because none of what's happening is set up like that. So it's just like, this is needlessly dangerous. It's like, one, it's gross because of the intention,
right?
But it's gross because of it's intentionally like bad. I mean, its intentions are sort of bad without actually doing what it's trying to do.
Right. Yeah.
And then the other side of it is just
they stink at doing something that's bad anyway.
Yeah. They can't even do. Yeah. They couldn't get any part of this movie right. Cause you know, if they had done that in a real, like, trying to be that kind of scene way, you'd be like, well, all right, at least they succeeded in doing that. But then they do it. They just shoot it like it's just a normal fight. Right. And you're like, this is just needlessly dangerous and gross now. It's like, because you were trying to do something and failed. And so it's like kind of worse gross that you guys are like, anyway.
You guys stink at everything.
Yeah, you guys are just bad at all of this. But the whole time, every time I watch that, I'm just going like, I'm so worried for, I'm like, I'm sure people got hurt while they were doing this.
Oh yeah. I mean that, yeah.
I mean, I know that kind of goes, but it's like, you know, ideally you want to say like in a good fight scene situation, nobody gets hurt.
Right.
Because it's not for real. Yeah. You're not really fighting. You're not really, you know, you should be protecting people. Yeah. And it's like when you've got to say another fact, it's like, oh, okay. And she's also got to be doing this in like a tank top and short shorts and like,
shooting in the middle of the desert.
Yeah. Just, it's all, you know, and then to say nothing of the fact that then it makes no sense that the next time you see her,
she's clean.
She's completely clean. She's covered in mud. Her hair is perfect.
Yep. Dried.
Dried. Her shirt is sparkling white. And they throw in that line where she says, I've got to find a river. And it's like, okay, a river is not a washing machine and salon.
Also, you're in a desert.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, Melina. The reason I said you were getting close is because, you know, Melina pulls the thing off.
She doesn't do in this movie.
Of course, because that would be too expensive. That would cost money.
Actually, when we just watched it, I forgot she was in the movie when she showed up. I was like, oh yeah, Melina's in this movie. And I completely forgot about her right after.
Well, and it's funny that thing of how, like, so many people have, you know, that she's... There's no reason to confuse her and Katana because they do not look anything
alike.
Not
in the movie,
Not in the movie, yeah. Like in the, you know, in the game.
In the game, they're palette swaps, but...
Yeah, but then in this... And the fact that Sonya says, like, Katana? It's like, why would you think that?
Katana never wears a mask.
Yeah, she never wears a mask in the movie. She doesn't look anything like that. Yeah. Anyway, so Melina is the main one I think you were missing. Question number three. You still did very well. And the fact that you know like which games they showed up in, I think gives
Katana,
you
the... Katana, well, in the first movie, they borrow from the first two. So Katana and Melina are from the second movie.
Number three, did you like this movie? Don't be looking at the question.
Oh. did I like this movie? No, but yes, because the experience of watching it is fun.
Right.
And sometimes that's all that matters.
Yeah.
The movie itself is not good. Let's get that clear. Yeah. Every aspect of this movie is pretty bad.
But I think we've done a good top to bottom explanation of how many different things about this movie don't work right.
Yeah. But it's entertaining in its way. It's not definitely not in the way that it's intended to be. But I think this podcast and talking about it with you has made it more enjoyable, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think, as I say on all these, it's always much more fun when I do
this viewing. Was entertaining. I love this viewing.
Yeah, this was entertaining. This was the most fun I've had in a while watching this.
Yeah, I've watched better movies by myself that I didn't have as good of a time as I did watching this movie.
Well, and I think that kind of leads straight into the next question, which I think you kind of already answered, was... Should people watch this movie?
Yes, absolutely. I think you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't watched this movie, like, what are you doing? Yeah. Just watch it. Just watch it. You'll enjoy this podcast more. You'll enjoy the movie more.
Yeah.
And you'll enjoy the movie in like the way that I'm enjoying it, which is just like, this is bad, but it's nice to like kind of to talk about it. And like,
yeah, especially if you can watch it with like a couple friends, you know, and have a good time with it.
Oh, especially if you like Mortal Kombat or if you're invested at all in like the video game series, you can just like just watch it and just roast it. like the Street Fighter movie, like Street Fighter is even more important to my childhood than Mortal Kombat is. Just like I spent so many hours playing Street Fighter, like I said, and that movie is like, I think that movie might be worse than this movie. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while. But it's that movie is real bad.
Yeah.
Really, really bad.
Yeah. I have not seen that I don't think I've seen that since since it was out.
There's other, like, that movie is really bad, but then, like, at the same time, I was like, if you like Street Fighter, you should watch that movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You should watch that movie and see how bad it is.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, this is the difference, I think, too, is like, it's one thing if you like something that they make movies of all the time.
Yeah.
Or something like, you know, it's like, if you like Spider-Man, and this is not even the best example. It's like, if you like Star Trek, you don't have to watch all the Star Trek movies.
Right.
Because there's, you know, there's a bunch of them and there's a ton of series. And it's like, you can kind of go like, let me just watch the good ones.
Yeah.
But with something like Street Fighter or, you know, or Mortal Kombat, if like you're really into those and they've only done like
one live action.
Yeah. Or movie. Like just a handful of movie, you know, just like two or three movies. You can go like, yeah, let me see these just to know, you know, just to know about how they got this thing wrong. Did they get anything that I like? Yeah. You know, did they get anything right?
Yeah.
And plus, I mean, I feel like there is something to be said for trying to see things and go like, okay, what a lot of people put a lot of work into this, even if it's terrible.
Right.
And just go like, what worked?
Yeah. It's like Street Fighter is definitely worth watching, if nothing for like Raul Julia.
Come on.
Yeah, you want to see that.
Yeah.
You didn't know you wanted that, but you do.
Like, you
can't see M. Bison in the video games and be like, you know who'd be a good M. Bison? Raul Julia.
That's another one where I would love to know how they landed on that.
Yeah.
Other than they're like, what if we got a real actor in this movie?
Oh, the best actor, too.
Yeah.
The greatest.
Oh, love man.
That man. Oh, boy. But yeah, like, here's the thing, though. I like Mortal Kombat Annihilation more than I like the Street Fighter movie. If nothing for the sole reason that in this movie and in Mortal Kombat 1, like the lead of the movie is an Asian dude. And that does not happen. It doesn't even happen in Street Fighter. Street Fighter, the main character is unequivocally, unquestionably, is Ryu.
Yeah.
In this video game series. In the movie, guess what? It's not. It's Guile.
Yeah.
Who you say? Guile? Played by not even American?
Yeah. Played by a Belgian?
Yeah.
Sure.
The muscles from Brussels? And like in that movie, like Ryu's kind of made out to be a jerk. Like he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's a gun runner in that movie. And the movie doesn't highlight him at all. He's just kind of a side character that pops in and out. And then, you know, in this movie, at least the lead character is who it's supposed to be. It's Liu Kang.
Yeah.
And it's an Asian dude. And that's nice to see. And on top of that, at the end of it, he gets to kiss the girl, which you never see an Asian man as a romantic lead ever. And actually, they were supposed to put this kiss in the first movie, but they didn't have time to because it was all action. And no one wanted to see an Asian guy kiss the girl at the end. So they just cut
that part out. Well, to be fair, that kiss did not look like it went very well.
Oh, no. It looks terrible in this movie. But at least it happened.
But it does happen. Yeah, you know? I got to give him that.
You know, at least they did it. You know, I do give a credit for that. So it's like,
when we were watching it, I was like, oh, the passion.
Yeah.
It's like, this is supposed to be their big romantic moment. Like exactly. It's come all of this, the whole last two, the entire two movies worth of romantic tension has led up to this. And then it's like, oh,
I've seen more passion smushing my two action figures together when I was a kid than whatever the heck that was.
When you were a kid.
Yesterday.
It's just like, and I don't know who to blame it on, but it's just like, she was kissing him like it was, oh, you did a great job. And now I'm never, because she's like, I will never forget this moment, Liu Kang. And then the worst kiss, the least passionate kiss you've ever seen. And then they go, and it's just like, this should be the big moment. Yeah, like, come on, guys.
Yeah, it needed to be bigger, but it wasn't. But at least they did.
Yeah, at least they did it.
Yeah. I'll never forgive Street Fighter for how they did Ryu. they did my boy wrong.
Well, that movie is clearly, they signed, I feel like it's the thing where they signed Jean-Claude Van Damme. Yeah. They were like, look.
He was supposed to do Mortal Kombat.
Who was he going to? Oh, he was going to be Johnny Cage.
It's
would have been something.
This is tying all together, too, because we talked about Bruce Lee earlier. Brandon Lee was supposed to be the Johnny Cage in the first movie.
Oh, wow.
Then he died because he did The Crow.
Yeah.
And then he passed away on set. And so they were just like, oh, we'll get Jean-Claude Van Damme. And he's just like, no, I want to do Street Fighter. So they got, what's his face? No one knows his name.
But it's like, you know, that seems like the kind of thing where they're like, okay, we've got Jean-Claude Van Damme, and he has to be the main character. But who can he play?
Play Ryu.
Yeah. But I mean, like that, like that would be way worse.
Yeah,
it'd be terrible. Yeah, well, and it seems like you would go like, oh, maybe. And but the problem is, it's like if you have him be Ken, then like Ken and Ryu are clearly equals, and that it would have to be too tied up with the both of them.
Right.
And so you got to go like, all right, we have to get it away from the two of them. And it's like, who's left that we could possibly make this about?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's got to be, you know, your two Americans are Ken and Guile. And you just go, all right, here we go.
You're a Guile now.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it would have been even worse if they tried to make him be Ryu.
Oh, yeah. They should never, ever do that.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's like, well, and really you go like, okay, our hands are tied here. This is all we can either like really, really piss people off.
Right.
Or...
just make another movie.
Yeah. Just don't do it. I mean, I get it. Like Jean-Claude Van Damme, like that's like perfect timing to go like a famous martial artist, a guy who's like a box office, you know, basically like guaranteed box office martial artist guy. Mm-hmm. People love going, he's right at the peak of his popularity.
Yeah.
And it's like, and we've got this fighting game that is super popular. We have to put these together. The guy even wants to do it.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, how do we put these together and make it work? Well, and, you know.
I feel like a way that they could have done it that at least would have been better than what they did with Street Fighter is if they, like, Big Trouble in Little China did, where they made, like, Guile the kind of, like, the unwitting, like, he wants to be the hero, but then, like, other stuff is happening that's, like, way over his head.
But you know that, like, most people that see Big Trouble in Little China do not
see it that way.
They don't get it at all that, like,
that's what makes it problematic.
Yeah. Like, they don't get it at all that Jack Burton is not actually like the hero of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, and to be fair, like, you know, for so long when I was young seeing that movie, I was just like, he's so cool. Yeah. You know, like, I don't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could still achieve, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme looks really good in this movie without having, like, him be the all-American hero.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
He should have been, like, Vega or something.
I was rooting for M. Bison, man. I liked Raul Julia so much, even as a kid. And I was just like, I hope M. Bison pulls this one off.
I really hope he wins this time.
He doesn't win ever in the games. I hope he just gets this one.
He certainly won a lot when I was playing. Because, man, not only would he kick my butt, but then there was also my friend Justin would always use it when we were playing Championship Edition, of course.
Yeah.
He would always use M. Bison.
Bison was one of my guys that I used a lot. My main guy was Honda, E. Honda. He was a news cameraman in the movie. But Honda was my guy.
And kept him right at that same level of respect you would expect from that movie.
But the hard boss to beat wasn't even Bison in Street Fighter 2. It was Vega. Vega was really hard to beat.
Oh, yeah, man. Cheating with that.
Yeah. Balrog was like super easy. And then Vega was super hard.
Yeah. Good luck getting past him.
Yeah.
But it's just like, and my friend would just, like, when we would play, just nonstop, as soon as the fight, like, just that spinning on fire torpedo, like that missile attack.
Oh, like the Psycho Crusher.
Yeah, just back and forth.
Yep.
Just like, oh, why am I even trying? Or he's doing that
the slidey kick.
Yeah. Oh. Oh
my down God. Hard kick. He would just slide halfway across the stream.
Yeah. Oh.
Unless you block that thing, then he's screwed.
Brutal. I'm not good at video games. I like them.
I'm not good at video games either. I'm just good at Street Fighter. It's the only game I'm good at.
Yeah, the only games I'm like actually good at are like wrestling games on Nintendo 64.
It's very specific.
Yeah, it's very, very specific. I mean, there's like five of them, but yeah. And that they all play exactly the same because they're made by the same people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right, and the final question.
Yeah.
Should I keep doing this?
Yeah. Yeah, you only got what? How many days
left? 163.
Yeah, now you have something to do now.
I have like a real goal for how to beat this.
Honestly, when you said that you wanted to do it, like I was like, at first I was just like, oh, is he serious? Like I was just like, is everything okay? but then when you kind of explained, it's like, no, I just want to do it because I want to do it. I've like almost just for the sake of doing it and being able to achieve this goal. I was like, yeah, go for it. Like, who's to say you can't do it? Like, you know, who's to say you shouldn't do it? And like, we were talking about this earlier where like you were talking to me and you were like, you are the only one that has given me any kind of like helpful advice when it comes to doing this. And I was like, yeah, because I understand the very act of wanting to do something for the sake of doing it. There's value in that. There's intrinsic value.
A lot of people do not understand that.
Yeah. I mean, like it's martial art. Like I've been doing martial arts since I was six years old. And I am continuing to do it of my own volition. Like I keep training in it. And like I started because my parents just put me in classes. But when I got to a certain age, I was going because I wanted to go. And like doing something for the sake of doing something is basically what martial arts is. Yes, it gets you kind of like, it helps your coordination. It helps your physical fitness level. Like it helps your, you know, ability to defend yourself. But honestly, like, I don't ever really use martial arts in the outside world. Like, I don't get into a lot of fights. Most people don't.
Yeah.
If you do, there's something wrong with you, you know? And, like, I use martial arts in everyday life, and it is applicable in everyday life. But, like, that's not really why I do it. Like, I don't do it, like, in preparation for, like, you know, me having to defend myself. I don't do it so that, you know, I don't do it for those kind of, like, external reasons. I do it because I want to do it, and I do it because it's something that I want to do, and it's just for me. It's like, it's me time. Like, whenever I'm training, I feel at home, and it's me
this
time.
This does not feel... Watching this movie does not feel like me time.
Right. But at the same time, there is intrinsic value to working towards a goal. Like, if...
Setting some goal for yourself and then trying to achieve
it. Yeah. It's like when people come to me as college freshmen, and they say, by senior year of college, I want to be a black belt. That's doable. You have to put in the time. You have to put in the effort. Even sometimes you don't feel like you want to do it.
Yeah.
Working towards that black belt is a goal that is worth it because you set out to do it, and achieving a goal is valuable. And you're not going to be able to beat people up, learn how to defend yourself, and do all of these things in 4 years of college, especially if you start martial arts as a freshman, like you don't already have a background in it. Getting a black belt doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
And so when people tell me, oh, you're going to learn how to beat people up after 4 years, it's like, no, you don't really learn anything like that after 4 years. There's not enough time. And you have to see the value in earning it for yourself. Maybe it is a fitness goal. Maybe it is, you know, a confidence thing. You're trying to learn self-confidence. But, you know, those things only get you so far. Like, you have to want to do it. It has to mean something to you, and that the reason that it means something to you doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Like, it just has to mean something to you.
Yeah.
And there's intrinsic value in that, and you have to believe in that. And so if whatever it is you set out to do, even if it is watching a bad movie for 365 days, you know, if you want to do it and you set out and you say that this is what I want to do, this is my Everest, or like this is the thing I want to do, then I understand that. And if you're my friend and you are looking for like support and things like that, I'll provide it. That's not a problem for me. I spent my whole life as a martial arts instructor and coach. Like, my job is to help others get to where they want to go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I know that it's just a stupid movie, but like, you saying that you want to conquer this movie and like, do this thing. I want to do this thing. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, here's how I think you could do it better.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just being like, you shouldn't do
it. Or like, here's how you can help yourself with what you've set for yourself.
Right.
Like,
or here's how to turn this into something,
you know. Yeah. Well, and it's like, we don't have to get into the whole thing of like what we talked about, but it's like the advice that you've given me has about different things has all been like, oh yeah. It's like,
Yeah.
You're right. Like, when you, everything you've told me, I was basically like, yeah, you're absolutely right. Even though I haven't, like, followed up on all of it.
Yeah.
But there has been some, like, when you said it, I was like, that makes perfect sense. Whereas other people's advice has either been not advice, just going like, this is dumb. Don't do this. Like, stop. What? That's dumb. Stop doing this. Or stuff like, they were like, just say you did it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to keep watching. Don't watch this tonight. Yeah. Nobody's going to know. And it's like, yeah, I'll know.
Yeah.
But the, or stuff where they're like, where I tell them when they go, what's the deal with you watching this movie a bunch? What is it about? What's the deal? And I go, well, okay. And I explain it. And they're like, you know what you should do? It's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what I'm doing. I'm not asking for you to tell me what you think would be a more fun project or podcast or goal for myself. Yeah. You asked what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And now I'm telling you. Yeah. And like, if you go do your, take your good ideas and do your own podcast. Right. If you think you've got.
Yeah. Like, anyway, that's the thing too. Like with being a martial arts instructor and like trying to help someone else, like I think it's a mistake to have someone that's just really good at Taekwondo teach Taekwondo, because that doesn't make you a good teacher. It doesn't make you a good coach. Like what makes you a good kind of like teacher and coach and leader in that way is if you can see it in someone else, like you want them to get to where they want to get to,
mm-hmm.
and you're not framing it in the sense of like, well, if I were you, this is what I would do. That's like a bad way of coaching because I'm not you.
Yeah.
So like, if I were you, I would do this. This is just a really egotistical way of thinking about things, I think.
Yeah.
Like if they want to do something, how you have to get to know them and what they're getting out of it, and then try to enhance that. Like try to work towards them getting to a specific goal that they want to get to. So
and this makes, I think you were kind of trying to explain a little bit of this the other night. That aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was quite clicking with me the right way the other night. Cause I was like, I mean, I kind of got what you're saying, but it didn't, you know, like I said, it didn't click the same way it is now that mm-hmm. you're explaining. Anyway, let's real quick. I mean, obviously this has been great, but as it is, now, as I like to do at this time, because it is, it's almost the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's answer some Twitter questions real quick. All right. At Fizz versus the World asks, which Mortal Kombat character would you like to see have their own standalone film?
Sub-Zero.
How come?
Because he, like in the games anyway.
He's like, kind of got like the richest story.
He has an entire video game dedicated to
him.
In Sub-Zero Mortal Kombat Anthologies or something like that. It's like a side scroller. And like he has this whole like kind of like rich story off to himself where like he has like he's part of the Lin Q, which is like the ninja clan you see, and he has to betray the Lin Q, and then Scorpion is like kind of like this undead ninja that has it out for him, and like they have this Wolverine Sabretooth type rivalry going on. But yeah, like Sub-Zero is like, and it's totally doable too, because Sub-Zero is such a popular character,
right?
And Scorpion is also a very popular character. Yeah. And if you do a movie that just circles around those two guys, like
could totally work,
it could totally work. And they have an interesting backstory, and they're ninjas. Like, who doesn't like ninjas? Ninjas with superpowers, man.
All right, so which white guys would you like to see play them? all right. I think I would like, what I would like to
Tilda
see.
Tilda Swinton.
What I would like to see is, I'd like to see a movie set right after this movie, about what Sonya did the next day. Like what,
yeah,
what Sonya happened in her life.
Sonya would be my next choice.
What happened in her life right after this?
Yeah.
Since she's the only character that seems to have like a real, they try to give everybody kind of an arc, and it's like, also I was listening to some podcast that was talking about movies, and they were like, do you remember how people used to not, didn't have to have arcs in movies? You could just tell an interesting story, and it was like, okay, then
you
this have
to worry
this
about
happens.
Characters.
Well, and not in a bad, not like, it's not like the movies suffered. Yeah. It was like a point in the, I guess it was probably like in the 70s. Where they started having this thing where it's like, you got to have this, your main character has to have get from point A to point B, you know, like, mm-hmm. and learn some stuff or whatever. But there was like, I can't remember the movie that they were mentioning as like a, as like a example of this, but they were like in this old, a movie that they did a remake of here recently. Oh man, what was the name of it? Not important. But there's some movie they did a remake of. And in the remake, of course, they had to like your main character has got like all this stuff going on at home. Mm-hmm. And it's not just in the original movie, that character is just a guy who's doing his job and like something crazy happens and he has to deal with it. And that's the movie. The whole point of the movie is the arc of that story, not the arc.
It's the plot, not the character
development. Yeah. And it's like, but the characters are all great. Mm-hmm. You learn through them. Yeah. You learn about them through what they do and what happens in the movie. Instead of going like, before the plot starts, you've got to learn like, oh, this guy's married and he's having this problem at home with his wife and his blah, blah. Anyway, so, but Sonya's the only one who's like, she's immediately set up from the beginning to where you're like, she's got a goal and it's, she wants to kill Shao Kahn and she's following that, like going through this stuff and she's got a really, and then she just stops.
It halts.
Yeah. So
I think that's part of the problem too with this movie is that it doesn't know what it's trying to be at all.
Yeah.
Like there's ways of developing a story, and like the stories are like, you know, a combination of character development and plot development, right? Mm-hmm. And what you were describing before is like, if you have your character set and you have good three-dimensional characters that don't need to go through this arc, then you can have like a really strong plot, and then you can kind of like, you know, the movie will be the story will be interesting because it follows you through this really interesting plot. If you don't have an interesting plot, you need interesting characters for the movie to be interesting.
And this doesn't have either.
Doesn't have either because it doesn't know what it's trying
to do. They couldn't come up with an interesting plot. They tried to put and that's the problem. They tried to give everybody arcs.
Right.
It's like
you could move them both forward, like characters and the plot forward, and have them both be interesting, and that doesn't happen either.
It's like Jax has got to have some kind of thing. But it's all the character arcs are like basically like lip service to something where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, Jax has got some kind of confidence issue. Yeah. So at the end, when he pulls those things off, you go, oh, so you finally got your confidence back. And it's like, wouldn't he still be able to do flips and stuff with those robot arms? And like, just he'd be much better at punching? Like, what? Like, why do his normal punches seem to be able to defeat Mataro, but his ones with like quadruple the power don't?
I guess they're heavier. But then if they're heavier,
you certainly never see that in the way that he fights.
Right. I guess if they're heavier, then they're just bad cybernetics. Like if they don't help.
He shouldn't. Then. Yeah. It shouldn't be any difference.
Yeah. It's like you can compare this movie to like two different types of movies, like the kind of like the Rocky type of story where like you have some, like it's about the fighting and like someone is bad at fighting and then they find a way to get better at it. And then they, you know, that's the arc. And that's like, that comes with a lot of like character development and like, you know, the characters learn something about themselves and like they become better fighters. Or you can go kind of like, you know, like those Jackie Chan movies where like they don't necessarily get better at fighting. They just like, they're just really good at fighting and like they're trying to make the story interesting.
Yeah.
And then like some interesting fights happen along the way.
Yeah.
And like that's really hard to do because you need really talented, like, you need a really talented cast to pull off all those really good stunts and stuff. But like, this movie can't do either, so it like doesn't try.
Oh man! And again, it's just
doesn't know what it is.
I would love to see some kind of. I wish like I could talk to someone at the IRS to figure out where this money went.
Where the money
goes. Like if the FBI or somebody ever got involved in finding.
We're gonna get shut down by Mortal Kombat. They're like like some producers out there. He's on to me.
Yeah, you're gonna find us both dead now, but it's like one of us is going to be frozen in a block of ice. One of us is going to have his head ripped off with the spine still dangling. At Rebecca Crook 1 asks, Master Trang, do you ever find yourself doing unnecessary flips in everyday life?
All the time. To get away from things, I'll run up a wall and do a backflip. Like Liu Kang does to get away from a missile. I will run in the way of a missile and then jump out of the way with a backflip. That's what Liu Kang does.
He was like, what?
I often do that. I'll run out into the street in the way of a moving car and then backflip out of the way.
Also, you think, like, wouldn't it be much easier? It's like the way they have to pop those missile things. Like, he could just, like, lay down right in front of him. Anyway. So there's your answer, Rebecca. Do you appreciate that she's paid enough attention to previous episodes you've been on to know that
that is actually kind of nice.
Because you remember, she hasn't heard the episode that we're doing yet.
Right.
Which is where he said that. So that means she remembers it from the other episodes.
I do appreciate that. Thank you, Rebecca.
All right. At Daniel Feltz asks, if Mortal Kombat Annihilation was made into a Broadway musical, what would be the name of the most popular song?
Oh, boy.
I know so many lines from this movie that it would have to be something that's from, like, a line from the movie they turn into the song. My favorite song from the soundtrack would probably be What's That Supposed to Mean? Should be the song that everyone sings at some point during the movie when they have no idea what's going on. Or maybe Jax's soulful song called Who the Hell is Johnny? He's really confused about who this Johnny everybody keeps talking about is. Also, and it's like, they're talking about in this movie where it's like they have, you know, they're having to make these, because the movie takes place over a week.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but there's no sense of time conveyed other than it's like, oh, it's wait, we're running out of time.
It literally, the movie picks up right after the first movie ends.
Yeah. And it's like, there's, it would seem at some point during any of this, they've got enough time, even if they're spending a lot of their time in those hamster balls or just like walking around and stuff, that it's like you'd have time to go like, all right, this is what's happening here. I know this is crazy, but here's what's going on. But you see that part after they've already been together for a while, they've gone through at least one crazy fight. Mm-hmm. Jax and Sonya are walking through that thing and he's like still trying to get answers from her. Mm-hmm. It's like, why didn't y'all talk about this while you were in that long ride in the hamster ball? Like, why didn't, like, you've got nothing but time in between these fight scenes. Yeah. Tell this man what's happening, please. Like, but of course, also, but like, how long has she known Johnny from the first movie? Like, because the first movie takes place over what, like a couple days?
Yeah, she's pretty beat up about it.
Yeah, she's like real, and it's like, man, they really must have had something where it does not seem like, other than like Johnny. My recollection from the first movie is just Johnny sort of like unwanted advances.
Yeah. That's the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like there would be some really good songs that come out of Jax's confusion. Cause that's like the main thing we made fun of in that movie is just like
how he just,
Jax has no idea what's going on. He just met Raiden Raiden is claiming to be a god.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, related to gods.
Yeah.
And can do all these magical things, which by the time Raiden actually meets Jax, he's losing his powers. So by all accounts, Jax is just like, this guy is full of it. Like, this guy is crazy.
This dude's a lunatic. Yeah. I do like how he just seemed to appear out of nowhere with that flip and then turned into another guy. All right, guys. Well, thank you for the questions. Thank you, Randy, for being here, for making this a super enjoyable night of watching this movie and talking about it. This is going to be by far the longest episode of I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation, but this has been super fun.
And I knew this would happen too, because I had so much to say about this movie.
Absolutely. Oh, that was the thing too. Yeah, he's like, the whole time I've been doing this, like, and I would kind of start to ask him things where we would start to talk about it. He would go like, nah, for months you've been going like, no, we got to save it because... but I'm glad we did. And I still feel like there's stuff we didn't even get to, didn't talk about.
Oh, boy.
So, guys, thank you for listening. Randy, tell them about everything that they need to know about you, what they need to check out. Can you tell stuff about the movie you're going to be in?
Yeah. So if you guys
or any of the mini TV shows you're going to be on.
Yeah. If you guys don't know who I am from like past episodes and stuff like that, I'm primarily a comics writer and artist. I work on a book called Roller Girl and the Flying Psychic, which I self-publish. And I work on a bunch of other comics too, including in an autobiographical comic. They're all on my website, randalltrang.com. I'm also on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at Randall Trang. That's RANDALLTRANG. As far as like the acting stuff goes, that's what I'm doing now, kind of to help pay the bills. But it's also a really, really fun side job. I'm an actor in like, I do a lot of like background acting and stuff like that. So just like, you know, being an extra on movies and TV sets, which is super fun because you get to like work on set, you get to kind of be on set with like some really cool famous people and
see how like big time stuff really works.
Yeah, and it's just really neat just being part of like storytelling in another way.
Yeah,
I'm always fascinated by process and like being able to be on set and be on set of TV shows that I watch and that I like is really cool. I've been able to work on some pretty cool TV shows. I can't talk about all the TV shows I've been in because they have like non-disclosure agreements and stuff like that.
Right.
I was one of the leads in an independent kung fu movie, which you kind of heard us talking about during this podcast. It's called right now the working title of it is Kung Fu Guardians. It's a short film. It's like a half hour long, I think. We just finished shooting, I think, about a month ago.
Once he slows all that stuff down, it's going to be feature length.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be 90 minutes, directed by Zack Snyder. But yeah, it's set to be released sometime in 2017. If you guys follow me on, again, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, or my website, you should know when it actually comes out. It was a lot of fun to shoot. I play a character called Yin Yang, which I know what you're thinking, but that's the type of movie this is, guys. I'm a Shaolin monk that knows a lot of like martial arts and kicky stuff. And I do all my own stunts. I do some acting. Actually, I there were a lot of lines for me. I think I had the most lines in the movie. But it was a lot of fun to work on. I had a lot of fun making it. And I have no idea how the movie's going to turn out, but it was super fun to work on it. And I think that does come out in the movie, fact that we had a lot of fun making it and a lot of heart went into it. So, I'll definitely be telling people when that comes out, if you follow me on the social media. But, that's my, that's all my stuff.
All right. So definitely check that stuff out. All the stuff that he mentioned, I'll also put his links in the show notes, along with probably like YouTube clips of WMAC and who knows what else.
Yeah.
So check that out at keepitclosetome.com or in your podcast player's window. I don't know what you're using to listen to this on, but go to keepitclosetome.com. Check that out. Follow the show at KICTM Podcast on Twitter. If you've got anything you want to email us, you can email it to keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @thechrishaley, all one word, no underscores, none of that business. And the show and me are on Patreon, patreon.com/thechrishaley. Just help support the show, do whatever. You can get cool stuff, early access to shows, get original stuff that other people don't get. All those non supporters don't get to special limited edition things, episodes of things that other people won't get to hear, and just fun kind of silly behind the scenes stuff, all kinds of nonsense. Trying to have fun with it, and hopefully people are enjoying it. And if you're one of those people, thank you so much for being a part of it. Thank you so much to all the people that already have. Leave us a review on iTunes. That helps people find the show. Thank you to everybody that's already done that. Everybody, thank you so much. This is always fun, especially when I get to do it with someone like you, who I get to have a lot of fun with. And so, guys, I'll just say, remember, be there for one another. You're a family now.
'Oh, sweetie, just go lay down somewhere.
Oh,
what?
How you like that?
Boom. Heard you like birds. I got two for you. get the out of here.
Just flipped off your cat.
Do other people not flip their pets off?